And now, When Radio Was. Brought to you by RadioSpirits.com.
I'm Greg Bell, and we open with a blue-collar worker and his family. And then after we live a bit of the life of Riley, we mosey on down to Pine Ridge, Arkansas, and check in on Lum and Abner. While William Bendix was the star of this opening series, his supporting cast was also first rate, led by Paula Winslow as Chester's wife, Peg. She was a native of North Dakota, first came to Hollywood with her husband, childhood sweetheart, John Sutherland. He became a writer, director, and producer, and his wife began working in films, but really excelled in radio. Here she is in this broadcast from November 17th of 1945.
Teal, the amazing liquid dentifrice, brings you the life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. Remember, friends, for beautiful smiles, it's T-E-E-L, Teal. And just for laughs, it's R-I-L-E-Y, Riley, in the life of Riley. It's breakfast time in the household of Chester A. Riley, California aircraft worker, and at the moment, the usually affectionate Rileys are having one of their rare domestic skirmishes. Subject, family finance.
Chester A. Riley, do you mean to tell me that after 3 years at a steady job, all you've got in the bank is $198.73?
76 cents. Now, Dumplin', don't get excited.
I'm not excited. But you can't be trusted to save money, so I'm going to see
Don't save. 2 weeks ago, I took $18 out of the bank to buy a sport coat, but I didn't buy it. There's $18 saved.
But what happened to the $18?
We're talking about sport coats. Last week, I took out $5 to buy a hat, but they only had hats for $7.50, so I didn't buy it. 18 and 5 and 750. There's $30 right there, and you say I don't say.
But where is all this money you drew out?
No, 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 Peg, take it easy. I was coming to that. You see, I happened to be passing AZ's second hand shop.
I knew it. What useless piece of junk did you waste our good money on this time?
I didn't buy no junk, Peg. It was something useful, something I really need.
What?
A diver's helmet.
A diver's helmet?
Peg, you'll hurt your hand hitting the table like that now.
A diver's helmet? What on earth do you need that for? You're not going deep sea diving.
No, but, well, you know I got a bad habit of falling asleep in the bathtub.
You must be out of your mind.
Okay, Peg, I'll confess. I didn't buy the diver's helmet to wear in the tub. I got it for something sensible.
Well, I should hope so. What?
For the bees.
Bees?
Don't yell. Bees. The helmet is to protect my face from the bees I bought.
You bought bees? What for?
What for? Why, every summer we got a yard full of flowers just oozing with honey.
But what's that got to do with buying bees?
Well, you don't expect me to suck the honey out. I tell you, Peg, there's a fortune in this honey racket. And there's no work to it, except the little that the bees do.
Oh, Riley. Sometimes you upset me so I could scream.
Dumplin', control yourself. You'll become a nervous wretch.
No wonder. The things you do. Now, look here, Riley. Once and for all, we've got to settle this.
Now, Dumplin', you're all excited. We'll talk about it when you're cooled off. I'm going next door to see Waldo Binney. How's about a kiss?
I'm not in the mood.
That's despair. Peg, you didn't hear me. I said, how's about a kiss?
And I said, no. Do you understand? No.
Okay, I can take a hint. Good day to you, madam. Tell you, Waldo, the way Peg carried on. She yelled and banged the table. Oh, it was awful.
I see. Mrs. Riley flies off the handle for no reason at all?
Nothing I do satisfies her. Always picking on me.
All the symptoms.
What do you mean, symptoms?
Of a nervous breakdown.
A nervous breakdown? My Peg? No, Waldo.
I don't say she's exactly got one, but it's obvious she's heading for one.
A nervous breakdown? But why, Waldo?
She's been married to you for a long time, hasn't she?
Well, I know, but it don't bother me. Why should it bother her?
I've been reading Dr. Fink's book, Release from Nervous Tension. Dr. Fink says that sometimes the strain of marriage proves too much for a wife. How long has she been married?
17 years, the same as me. Do you think that that's what's given Peg this nervous breakdown, Walter?
Possibly. And you must stop it while there's still time.
Oh, yeah, sure. But how? If I call in a doctor, that'll make her worse.
There's a better way. Psychological. Keep her cheerful. Don't let her listen to scary programs on the radio.
Oh, I can fix that. I'll take the tubes out of the radio and hide them. And I'll cut all the depressing news out of the paper before she can read it.
Fine. But the most effective approach in these cases is the romantic angle.
Well, how do you mean, Walter?
Well, the husband must try to recapture the spirit of courtship. Mr. Riley, you must start being romantic.
Romantic, huh? Yeah. Yeah, I could be romantic, but she'd kill me if she caught me at it.
No, you must be romantic with Mrs. Riley.
Oh, that! Oh, sure, I'll do that. I'll go right home now, Waldo, and I'll turn on the romance. I'll take Peg in my arms and hug her and kiss her. I'll treat her just as if she wasn't my wife. Peg, where are you?
Here I am. What is it, Riley?
My darling, come into my arms.
What?
Let me hold you close.
Riley! Oh, you're choking me.
Kiss me, sweetheart.
Oh, Riley! Will you stop? Let me go.
I'll never let you go. Kiss me again.
Oh, what's gotten into you?
There's something I've been wanting to tell you for a long time. I want to marry you.
Riley, the children.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have two, a boy and a girl.
We'll have to. We've got to right now. Have you gone out of your mind?
Well, no, Dumplin'. I was just trying to bring back the time I was courting you.
Oh, I haven't got time for such silly nonsense. I've got to scrub out the soup kettle.
Poor Peg. She'd rather scrub the soup kettle than kiss me. What's that pot got that I haven't got? Boy, this newspaper is full of gruesome stuff. Husband hits wife with bricks, marriage headed for rocks. I better cut this out. Peg ever sees this, she'll get... What's this? Wife poisons husband after quarrel. I better cut that one out, too.
Riley, where are you?
Holy smoke, she's coming. In the bedroom, Dumplin'.
Riley?
Yeah?
I've been trying to get the murder at midnight hour on the radio, but the set's gone dead.
Well, you don't want to hear that program, honey. Good thing I got the radio tubes in my pocket.
Riley, will you come and take a look at it?
I can't, Peg. You see, I'm laying down.
No, you're not. You're standing up.
Well, I'm just going to. Look, see?
Good heavens. What was that?
I didn't hear anything.
You didn't hear? Why, Riley, I tell you.
Those California crickets.
Crickets?
Well, Mother, what was that noise?
Yeah, sounds like somebody's shooting somebody.
Oh, it's nothing, kids. Forget it.
Riley. It sounded as if it came from... Let me look in your pocket.
No, Peg. Don't...
Why, your pocket's full of broken glass.
Hey, those are radio tubes.
Radio tubes?
So that's why it won't work.
Daddy, what are you doing with the radio tubes in your pocket?
Well, where else are you going to put radio tubes? you see, soon they're going to sell pocket radios, and I want to get used to them.
Riley,
Riley, what's that newspaper there?
Paper?
Yeah, and the scissors. Why, you've been cutting something out of the paper. Is there something you don't want me to see?
Oh, no, no, no.
Then what are you doing, Pop? Cutting paper dolls?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I'm cutting paper dolls. Oh, you see? Great fun.
Paper dolls, Daddy? Why?
Well, why not? This is a democracy. The Constitution guarantees every citizen the right to cut paper dolls.
Dear, why don't you lie down and rest, please?
Okay, Dumplin', anything to please you.
Children, come with me. There's something I want to talk to you about.
Mother, Daddy's acting very strangely.
I know. Children, you know your father's been working very hard lately.
Yes, I know, Mother.
I guess holding a rivet gun 8 hours a day finally does something to you.
Well, just what are you trying to say, Mother?
Well, you may as well know now as later. Your poor father is having a nervous breakdown.
We'll find out what Riley and his wife are going to do about each other's entirely imaginary nervous breakdowns in just a moment.
We'll be back with more of The Life of Riley right after this short break. Welcome back. It's The Life of Riley on WIN Radio Was.
Well, Riley has mistakenly decided that his wife, Peg, is heading for a nervous breakdown, but his efforts to stave it off caused him to behave so strangely that now his wife and children are convinced that Riley is the one who's having the nervous breakdown. That's why Mrs. Riley is just returning from a talk with the family doctor.
Oh, hello, children. Where's your father?
He's in the kitchen, washing dishes.
Washing dishes?
Yeah, Mom. He's pretty far gone.
Mother, what did Dr. Leroy say?
Well, he said for us not to worry, but to keep an eye on him for a few days, and
Peg.
He thought...
Oh, Peg!
Oh, shh, shh. Now, don't let on what we've been talking about.
Oh, here you are, Dumplin'.
Hello, dear.
Well, I just finished washing all the dishes, and I put them away, and now I'm going to take the washing off the line and do some ironing. Then I'll wash the floors. Why don't you go out, sweetheart, and buy several new hats?
Oh, the poor thing's raving. Oh, Babs, I almost forgot. The doctor gave me this tonic for him. It'll soothe his nerves.
Oh, but Daddy won't take medicine. You know him.
I know what. I'll put it in some of his food. He won't know he's taking it.
So, for 2 days now, I've been doing all the housework, Waldo. Look, I'm getting dishpan elbows.
Well, just keep it up, Mr. Riley. This rest may stave off her breakdown.
Gee, I hope so. I wish I knew if the poor darling was getting better.
Well, it's a good idea to observe a patient without her knowing it. Now, maybe if I could have a peek at Mrs. Riley...
Well, that's a good idea. Come on, Waldo. She's in the kitchen making supper. We can peek through this window.
I see her. Yeah. She's pouring tomato juice in a cup.
Oh, yeah, that's for me. I like it in a cup. Hey, look. What's she taking out of her pocketbook?
It's a little bottle full of black liquid.
Yeah. Yeah, now she's opening the bottle. She's pouring it in a teaspoon. What's she doing that for?
Don't say it, Mr. Riley.
Oh, don't you say it, Waldo.
Poison.
Waldo, it's happened. The breakdown. She's trying to poison me.
Oh, my. How awful.
Yeah. My little Peg. My own sweet wife. She's gone berserk.
Riley, is anything wrong, dear?
No, nothing. What could be wrong?
Well, go on. Drink your tomato juice.
I don't want it.
But, dear, I seasoned it the way you like it.
I'm afraid it's a little too highly seasoned for my taste.
Daddy, you didn't even taste it. Go on, dear. Take a big sip just to satisfy me.
One sip would satisfy you?
Yes.
I don't want any. I don't want to eat anything.
Now, dear, you've got to eat. Here, have a bowl of nice hot soup.
Soup? It's got a funny color. What's in it?
Oh, potatoes and parsnips and other things.
I don't want it.
Oh, but, Daddy, you like potatoes and parsnips.
Yeah, but I don't like the other things.
Riley, something's bothering you. I can see that. Tell me, dear, what's making you unhappy?
Me? Well, why should I be unhappy? I got a nice wife, two fine kids, a home, a job, and I'm healthy. I got a long and happy life ahead of me, providing I don't eat. I'll go. Advise me. What am I going to do?
Just watch yourself, Mr. Riley. Don't eat anything.
Yeah, but that's going to be hard. Eating is one habit I could never break myself of. I'm starved right now. No supper.
Well, maybe there's something in the icebox that'd be safe to eat.
Yeah, well, let's take a look.
Well, there's a dish of custard.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's safe. Peg usually makes it for the kids. I'll eat that.
Yeah, here's a spoon.
Thanks. Oh, boy. This is good. Just what I needed. Oh, boy, I was starved.
Well, you certainly went through that fast.
Now, let's see what else.
Why, Riley, what are you and Waldo doing in the kitchen? Oh, you ate the custard.
You don't mind, Dumplin'?
Mind? I was hoping you would. I knew you'd be hungry, so I made it especially for you.
It's special for me?
Of course. Now come in the living room when you're finished.
Waldo, she made it specially for me. Waldo, what'll I do? What'll I do? Oh, how could she do this to me? Me, her only husband.
Now, don't get panicky. I'll get a doctor.
No doctors. He'll find out the truth, and then the police will come and arrest her. No doctors. Think of something else, Waldo.
But what?
Well, I know. I got to get some of that stuff you take after you've been poisoned. You know, an anecdote.
You mean an antidote?
Yeah. Well, what'll I take?
Well, raw eggs.
There's some here. I'll put them in this bowl. Now, what else?
Mustard.
Yeah, what else?
Vinegar.
Yeah, here's some.
Now mix it all together.
Is that all?
Yeah, now drink it.
Drink it? I knew there was a catch in it. I can't drink this. It smells awful.
But your life depends on it.
Yeah, but I know. I'll take it with some of that custard.
No, not the custard.
Oh, that's... I don't know what I'm doing. Okay, I'll take it straight. Here goes.
Mr. Riley, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm okay. Only my eyeballs are trying to evacuate my head.
But Riley, dear, what's wrong?
Are you in pain, Dad?
Is there anything we can do, Pop?
Yeah. Just stand there and let me look at you. What a beautiful family. Oh.
Riley, what is it?
Don't worry, Dumplin'. I forgive you. And they'll never force me to testify against you.
Babs, Junior, come here a minute.
What is it, Mother?
Children, your father, I'm afraid he's out of his... Run and get Dr. Leroy right away.
Oh, yes, Mother. Come on, Junior.
What are you whispering about, Peg?
Oh, nothing, dear. Now, just relax. I'll get you a little more custard.
No, I've had enough. Well, what's that?
Just the door. Oh, hello.
Who is it, Peg?
It's Mr. O'Dell, the undertaker.
The friendly undertaker. Where is Riley?
Oh, I'm afraid he's not well.
I have something that will cheer him. My box seat tickets for tomorrow's football game. I can't use them.
Well, go on in. It might cheer him up.
Greetings, Riley. You're looking fine. Lying there.
Digger, I don't feel much like talking.
Riley, I've got something for you. A surprise.
What is it?
It's a box.
That ain't no surprise.
And wait till you see the view from this box. Oh, it's out of this world.
I know.
I can see you in it now. Relaxed. Comfortable. While all about you, thousands of people will be cheering.
Cheering? What for? I never did any of them any harm.
Oh, I envy you, Riley. I wish I could go with you.
Digger, I wish you could go instead of me.
Yes, it's a thrilling spectacle. The sun shining on the green grass. Voices raised in song. People craning their necks for a better look. Ah, I adore football. It's okay.
Football?
Well, naturally. The box is for the football game. Oh, good heavens, Riley. You didn't think I was talking about baseball.
Well, it don't really matter, Digger. Digger, listen. Lean closer. Over here. Digger, I've been poisoned.
What?
Look, I found the bottle.
Well, let me smell it.
Yeah.
Why, Riley, this isn't poison. It's just a harmless tonic. Ferrous oxide. I've taken it myself countless times.
Then I ain't poisoned. Oh, what a relief. Gee, Digger, you made a new man out of me. When you first came in here, I thought I was a goner.
Riley, in the future, let me be the judge of that. Well, have fun at the football game and think of me when they kick off.
So it wasn't poison. Poor Peg, my poor dumpling. She must be pretty far gone. Her head is so mixed up, she just thought it was poison.
Riley?
Yeah?
Riley, dear, he's here.
Who's here?
Now, don't get upset, dear. It's the doctor.
Good evening, Mr. Riley.
Dr. Leroy. But I didn't call no doctor.
No, I did.
Oh, you wanted the doctor, Peg.
Yes.
Because you were afraid of a nervous breakdown?
Yes, but there's nothing to worry about.
Oh, that's the spirit, Dumplin. Look, Doc, I first noticed it when my wife
was... That's all right, I know. Your wife has told me all about it.
Oh, I'm glad. Listen, Doc, is it serious?
Well, I think we caught it in time.
Look, Doc, I'm not a rich man, but spare no expense. I want the best of care. If you need nurses or specialists, I want them.
Now, don't worry. A month of peace and quiet in a rest home.
Rest home? Yeah, that'll do it. But I'll miss you, Dumplin.
I'll miss you, too. But don't worry, dear. I'll visit you every day.
Well, you're a little mixed up, Dumplin. I'll visit you every day.
No... That's impossible, Mr. Riley. You won't be allowed to leave the rest home.
Well, I understand, Doctor. Rules are rules, and you get out. But wait a minute. Me in the rest home? What for? There's nothing wrong with me.
But you just think you're all right, dear. Just a little while ago, you were acting so strange.
Oh, well, I can explain that. That's because you poisoned me.
I what?
I better call the ambulance at once.
I thought you poisoned me with this stuff. I saw you pouring it in my
tomato. Oh, that's just a nerve tonic I got for you. But what
What about you and the radio tube?
Oh, that. Well, I thought you were getting a nervous breakdown. I took the tubes out so you wouldn't be listening to that scary stuff on the radio.
I'm beginning to understand. Each of you thought that the other...
Riley.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Doctor, let me get this straight. You mean that my wife is okay?
Yes, she's perfectly sane.
What a revolting development this is.
Riley will be back in half a minute. Procter & Gamble, makers of Teal, the amazing liquid dentifrice, invite you to be their guest next week to hear the life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. William Bendix appears by arrangement with Hal Roach. The Life of Riley is produced by Irving Brecker and is directed by Don Bernard. Music by Lou Kozlov. Tonight's cast included Paula Winslow, John Brown, Scotty Beckett, Sharon Douglas, Dink Trout, and Fred Shields. So, until next week at the same time, this is Ken Carpenter saying goodnight for Teal. And remember, for laughs, it's R-I-L-E-Y, Riley. For lovely smiles, it's T-E-E-L, Teal. Good night.
That indeed, Nervous Breakdown, an episode of The Life of Riley from November 17th, 1945. I'm Greg Bell, and up next on When Radio Was, we have Chester Locke and Norris Goff as Lum and Abner. We'll be right back.